Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, all. Bud Justice on the line. Pan Agent 67, always just in time. We hope that you're easing into your work week here. It is Gregorian Monday, January the 10th, they say, at precisely 11 o'clock. This would be the first analog watch of the day, and we wanted to get right to the point with a very exclusive and privileged opportunity to interview Dr. Rick Staggenberg. Rick was a candidate for the Oregon Progressive Party, a candidate for Senate. He ran last year and ran a good race at that. I had the privilege of hearing his platform views and had some time at a speak out opportunity at the Multnomah County Library when dialoguing about Measure 74. And in this case, I found Rick's views to be right to the point in several regards, but what really caught my attention was his angle on corporate personhood and the issue that we face today as individuals and families and fathers in trying to make a way or generate a reasonable income, and to do so without compromising our health is very challenging, considering the amount of time we put into pushing that paper in order to earn those Federal Reserve notes. And of course, we are in a profound stage of change and transformation as the economy is rolling over into a new system of values. And in this case, we know that, as far as Bud Justice is concerned, I've been self-employed for 20 years now, and I know that if you are to remain gainfully self-employed, that you have to be familiar with facets of law and facets of law and sovereignty at that. And from what I've learned, there's a great deal of oversight to be had when it comes to participating in today's economy. You know, it is an economy that's built on an overwhelming amount of legislation and detail, and today's corporate America is making it very difficult for the individual sovereign to be self-employed and gainfully such. And so we're going to have an opportunity to pick Rick's head and bring him on the wire here momentarily as we jump over here to his Facebook and like the description of the description of the show indicates. You know, he's got a long track record, and not only is he an MD, but he's an outspoken advocate for freedom, for exposing the roots of the error, and in so doing, keeping a creative focus on alternatives and ways and means for people to unify their will and cooperate, and creating a form vehicle that's fitting for Oregon progressive heads. And in this case, if we look at his education and work, which we should probably start at the bottom of the page as we scroll down. Rick graduated from Woodrow Wilson High School. He's a local. And he graduated in the class of 76, attended Portland State University, and graduated in 88 with a degree in biology and psychology. And went on to grad school. It says here that he was in the Tripler Army Medical Center, and more than likely training as a physician's assistant, and He's got some time in with the psychiatric intern resident program. Spent a great deal of time, it appears, not the Army Medical Center, but the Albany Medical College, Oregon Health Sciences University. He's got time in at the University of New Mexico Health Sciences Center and affiliated hospitals, class of 1996. Completed a residence training there, and a psychiatric residency as well. And moving up his Facebook profile, he's got the Volunteer for Veterans Administration, where he served as an advocate, activist, and whistleblower, and program developer, veteran outreach consultant. Here that working with veterans and consulting with veterans, and more than likely fleshing out you know, the issues that veterans face in returning to this country, and having recently worked with a veteran last week, realized that there were several benefits and facets of income and services that this this brother was not aware of, and he had been exposed to Agent Orange, and so up until he met Bud Justice, he was getting a raw deal, and within the next 3 months, he should have a boost in $2,500 a month income, and now he's a cardholder with the medical marijuana program, and we've got him working towards his raw foods diet, coming into homeostasis, and apparently Rick and I have some things in common with these vets. We've got the Alternative Medicine Outreach Clinic that Rick served at as a chief doctor, and that was from March 2010 to October 2010, and that was one of the things that attracted me to Rick's views, is that he was very clear and adamant about his, and passionate about his representation with OMOD's program, and made it clear that he planned on raising the bar with the program and helping people to understand the privileges and the value of that green free opportunity. And, of course, that makes way to introduce a 501c3 form vehicle that he's established that we're looking to activate as an educational resource for public outreach, and he's calling that Take Back America for the People, by the people, for the people, and how we can reclaim a sense of balance in today's top-heavy whitewash. And, of course, at the very top of his education and work resume here, he's got the Soldiers for Peace, which is which he's extending as an international outreach organization to service military personnel and members worldwide, and that would extend to the blue collared worker, I'm sure, because to participate in today's economy, where time is money, making money is essentially well, it can be a facet of war or a facet of hell on earth that that results in a daily grind and a relentless facet of labor that is absolutely taxing us to death. Well, just giving a heads up and an overview to the obvious, have to pardon me as I hop over to the switchboard here, and I've got a wee bit of an internet issue, so let's just hop over and see if we can't jump back into the Blog Talk Radio, which again is a dynamite utility. It's not without its quirks and quirks on occasion, but we're going to open up the switchboard here, and break. There he is. We're going to bring Rick right into it and allow him to take it from here. Let's 321. And Rick, are you there?
I'm here, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Right on, man. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just got into town from the coast, and I've had, we were up at about 5:36 and had to come through the pass, and so I've had about 3.5-4 cups of coffee. Usually regulate myself to one, and I haven't had my cup of tea yet, so why don't you run with it, and I'll be right here with you.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I think you made a great point that we're in the middle of an economic war here in America, and problem is that the people that set this up and have devastated the economy now control the government and the media, as everyone knows. But what people don't seem to realize is that they used media to keep us fighting each other. So this whole conflict model of left versus right, Democrat versus Republican, progressives versus conservatives, and progressives versus liberals, I guess you could say, is phony, and it's all to their advantage. There's only one enemy. It's the corporatocracy, the embodiment of the international corporate terrorists who purchased our government and used it to start wars for profit. We are all also engaged, or we're all victims, I should say, of a very real wars. When I was growing up, Vietnam was going on, and we watched it every night in our living room, even while my brother was over there serving. And that's what gave me my passion to do what I can to reduce the possibility that people will always believe that war is inevitable. Because when enough people stop believing that and believe that war can end, it will inevitably become unthinkable.
Well, that's a relief. That's a relief. Let's go with that. That's a much better alternative to this morning's grind. And I was reminded of that. You know, Monday rolls around and people are just disheartened and edgy.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And I saw that happening during the healthcare debate. And you didn't mention, if people go to the website of Soldiers for Peace International, that they can join us on Facebook, first of all. They'll get an announcement, if they do, of when our Blog Talk Radio show is going on internationally. And they can also click on a link to a book of essays that I wrote. And one of them is called Despair is a Sin. And I should explain that most of this book is pretty ironic. I don't personally believe in the concept of sin. As you say, I think the better way to put it is error. Because democracy depends on us believing that people are good enough to rule themselves. So why do we make assumptions about their character? If we really believe in democracy, we have to believe that people are basically good. And our job is to teach them the error of their ways when they promote the corporatocracy. And that's really what Take Back America for the People is all about. That's what my book's about. That's what my campaign was about. And that's what Soldiers for Peace International is about. It's getting people together to talk, to look past their differences or talk through them. And when they can't agree, just agree to disagree, but focus on the main issue, which is crushing the corporatocracy and taking from them the power to subjugate us. Allow millions of us to die so that they can control the survivors. You know, they can't really handle 12 billion slaves, so they've got to make sure a lot of us die first by denying us health care, denying us decent jobs, denying us the resources that we need to fight back. Even access to the internet, they're challenging. There isn't a single thing that they haven't attacked, and as long as we keep fighting each other, we're not going to be able to fight back. So I started Soldiers for Peace International during the healthcare debate, because like most people, I was brainwashed into thinking that you had to choose between Democrats and Republicans if you wanted to get anything done. But the healthcare debate made quite clear to anybody that was paying attention that neither one of them is working for us. I find it very frustrating when so-called liberals and progressives refer to the health care bill that the Democrats passed as health care or reform. It's neither. It doesn't provide health care. It's a mechanism for feeding more money into the medical insurance industry because their product is so expensive, nobody would be able to afford it. In 5 years, the whole thing will collapse. The way that prices are rising and people's incomes are dropping and they can't afford it and they don't get it with their jobs. They knew that they had to go to the government and get them to crank up the printing press some more so that the government could pay for what the American people couldn't pay. But at the same time, they shifted the costs even further onto workers. And that was also the problem with my opponent, Ron Wyden's health care bill. It was about shifting costs so they could claim they were saving the government money. Well, we all pay for health care one way or the other if we get it at all. And if we don't, then we're even worse off. And the whole the nation's economy is being destroyed by this unchecked cost of health care. 17% or 18%, I think, of the GDP is health care costs. These estimates they come up with all the money they're going to save are, you know, based on fallacious assumptions like most CBO reports are. The CBO is, yes, it's an objective agency that analyzes the bills according to the best data they have, but what they're fed is a bunch of horseshit assumptions that they're required to incorporate into their estimates, which, of course, end up being wild guesses anyway. It's completely patently ridiculous to think that you can add millions of Americans who are too sick to get health insurance to a pool and they'll be able to afford that somehow. It's going to make the whole system more expensive because you have to have some rules. You have to have some centralized system that eliminates fraud, abuse, misuse, that sets standards for care and rewards providers for the outcomes they produce, and that controls pharmacy costs. I mean, one of the things that Obama traded away was the ability of the government to negotiate drug costs for Medicare drugs. Well, that's breaking the system right there. But my opponent, Ron Wyden, he crossed party lines to vote for that piece of crap Medicare modernization bill when Bush was president and the Republicans were trying to destroy Medicare. I don't want to cast aspersions on his character, but he seems not intelligent enough to understand the consequences of what he did, and his only excuse is, well, it's the best we could do. America's got to do better than that. You know, we're not solving any of the problems that are destroying us economically, and if we don't, they're going to be out of a job. But how it's going to happen is up to us. It's either going to be a democratic revolution or it's just going to keep getting worse until we have a violent revolution sparked by the right wing that will give them an excuse to take away what civil liberties they haven't already stolen.
Right, and I know you're passionate about the facet of healthcare, right, being an MD and everything, and it seems as though, if we go back to the building blocks of life and the value that represents, you know, health is wealth, and in this case, you know, we've got a lot of people who just simply aren't in their bodies enough to know the difference between being present and being drawn out either into a facet of neurosis that's coming from the future or something of the past, and you know, trying to get a handle on those emotions and keep your balance physically and psychologically today is really quite challenging. You know, I want to rope it in though to this idea of localizing and focalizing because as that thread of that discussion we were having on the Facebook a couple of days ago notes that the changes that need to occur more than well. All great change usually comes from the bottom up, from the salt of the earth, so to speak. And in this case, you know, rather than focusing on problems, I'm being informed by my teachers and those who inspire me to localize and focalize, which is why I put my time into the Progressive Party, and which is why you attracted my interest with the topic of corporate personhood and this idea of corporatocracy and corporate personhood. You know, if you can just shed some light on what the what you feel is the difference between a corporate straw man, so to speak, and a sovereign citizen.
Sure. For people that aren't familiar with the concept of corporate personhood, it's the Supreme Court doctrine that corporations have constitutional rights under the 14th Amendment. Anybody that looks at it will see that it says all citizens born or naturalized in these United States, blah, 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 are guaranteed all these rights under the Constitution. But so they've decided to label corporations people just because they used to be referred to as people, fictitious persons, more specifically under the law. They just ignored the fictitious part and made them real citizens. And citizens with that much wealth, as Thomas Jefferson warned us, will form an economic aristocracy and subjugate the people. And that's why he proposed an 11th Amendment that would have prevented this. It would have always allowed us to regulate corporations so that they work in the interest of the people as a whole. And until we pass a constitutional amendment that does just that, we're going to continue to suffer from the effects of having giving away our government to international corporations that don't have our interests at heart. Corporations by law exist to make profit. That does not mean that they exist to make jobs. It does not mean they exist to make products we all need and want. It just means they exist to make profit. And when it's a comp, they're also at war with each other to a certain extent. And as any war, they form alliances. And what we have to do is understand these alliances and how to attack them. A big part of this is educating people on the grassroots about these issues. But you also, as you understand, obviously, you have to get involved in the political process. They've gummed up our political process so badly that people say, oh, all politicians are crooks. Why bother voting? Well, there is a reason to vote. You just have to look outside of the two-party box because the Democrats and the Republicans, in general, are not working for us for the corporatocracy. And there are lots of exceptions. Right here in Oregon, we got Jeff Merkley. As far as I can tell, he's working for the people. And I will support him in 2014, even though he's in a different party, because parties don't matter. What matters is getting somebody in there who's going to change the system. And I'm in the process of trying to encourage him to introduce that constitutional amendment. There's already been one introduced in the House. You never read about it in the corporate press. It was year ago. I didn't even know about it. Even people in the movement are not spreading the word about this. It's crazy. I mean, this should be something everybody knows.
Right. How would you define sovereignty today, Rick?
Well, I don't really use that term because it's confusing, I think. It's confusing to me. I mean, sovereignty, people use the term individual sovereignty. Well, that means every man's a king, I guess. And, we can't all be kings. We can all be equal, but kings are, by definition, not equal. Now, it sounds a lot to me when people use that phrase, and I'm not saying you mean it this way, but a lot of people who use that phrase, sovereignty, they are what I call radical individualists of the Ayn Rand philosophy, the ultra-libertarians who think that individual rights trump everything. That's nonsense. You have a sense of social responsibility, and you know that we have responsibilities to other people in every action that we take. Given your philosophical background, you're fully aware that everything we do is interconnected with everything that happens in the world. And so it may be these international corporate terrorists who are guilty of crimes against humanity, but we all bear responsibility. We have to quit fighting each other and reach out in a spirit of love to anybody who will listen and talk to them about how we can work together to take back America for the people. Because if we don't, human civilization itself will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Do you have suggestions as to how we're going to how we can best organize, considering the I mean today you got the time wars, you got people, you know, with so many different obligations. What are some basic things, you know, that you would suggest, or particular topics or facets of interest, or facets of law, or what would you suggest people do today in terms of unifying their collective will?
Well, I think I'm glad you asked, because there's very easy things and more difficult things. First thing people need to do is understand corporate personhood, what it is, how we can fight it, and why we should fight it. And that's what I try to do with Take Back America for the People, and that's my personal effort for Soldiers for Peace International. I should state right now that I don't speak for Soldiers for Peace International. I'm the founder, and I can say what it is. But as far as what we believe, what we believe is we can end war by fighting for justice on all these fronts. But the only way to do that, to fight for justice on all these fronts at once, without people getting distracted and discouraged and hopeless, is to make them realize that there's only one issue that we need to fight right now, and that's corporate personhood. This is not just my favorite topic. This is the one thing that we need to address if we want to get anything else done. If corporations don't care about us and the politicians are working for them, why should we expect them to do anything for us? No. We have to make it impossible for corporations to buy them, these politicians. Then we'll do what the people want. And the people will be so damn happy they might quit shooting each other and calling each other traitors and all this horse manure. We have to start with that we have to do it on our side. You know, anytime you got a conflict and you want it to end, somebody's got to lay down their arms first. And I'm saying it's us. That doesn't mean shut up. They want to exercise their Second Amendment rights. We need to exercise our First Amendment rights.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll have a chance to really get into those amendments and what it means to be endowed with the Constitution, what it means to be, you know, empowered by the Bill of Rights, what it means to be empowered again by our legislative process, as opposed to being disempowered and unaware of how we can play an active role. We've seen how we can utilize the system to legalize an alternative form of medicine, and we know that some of the most successful civilizations of the past were agriculturally based, and we know that the return to a home economy and ways and means from home is essential to reorganizing ourselves. And you know, with 2 minutes left in the program, and I suspect we could go on about this, and we will. I want to, you know, ask you to return, but with the 2 minutes that we've got, you've got a book coming out, you've got some think links and websites and things, and then you've got perhaps a thought or two in wrapping this up that would give people some tools or some references or some resources to put to work.
Absolutely. Actually, the book is out. I'm still editing it, but it's available online, and I appreciate readers' comments. All they have to do is go to the website of Soldiers for Peace International. That's soldiersforpeaceinternational.org. And they can read the book. Just click on the link that says Read Dr. Stagenborg's Book. It is a series of essays exploring concepts that we need to consider if we're going to organize a movement that's going to take back the country, make it a democracy, so that we can be a force for peace in the world, instead of the chief cause of war. So that is where I would recommend people start. I would love it if they'd join us on Facebook. The more numbers we have, the more people pay attention to this effort. I think it is unique because we're reaching out to individuals in other nations and asking them to join us and ask their friends to join us. And it's a small group of people who've actually joined, but we are linked through them to millions. And when these people start getting the message of how we can actually end war, we will.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you, Rick, for putting your best foot forward and you know, showing up as 2/3 of it. You've been really busy getting out and about with it, and I hope that you have a chance to take care and you know, and enjoy the winter cycle from home. And I look forward to D.C. in the near future, what have you. But, you know, needless to say, we're with you and want to thank you for inspiring, you know, the youth and for those of us who are looking that way. And I'm going to do my best to bring forward what I know of William Dixon's work, or what I've come to research and how that's been applicable in circumstances that I've had to deal with the Oregon Contractors Board and the Child Support Division and other ways of equalizing agencies' jurisdiction. And, you know, when we talk about doing business and being gainfully self-employed or even gainfully employed, you know, with something on the side to help your income, then you're going to need as much insight as you can muster. So without further ado, sir, thanks again for showing up, and let's make it a point to do this again in the near future, and we'll keep on keeping on.
I'll be more than happy to do that, Jason. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Take care, Rick.
Okay.
Have a night, too.
You too. Bye-bye.